Excuse me, I was supposed to record my sermon. So the people of Israel demand a king, saying, "We want a king over us." But to Samuel, their demand did not seem to be a right demand. In fact, Samuel did not like their demand. Earlier in the verse 6 of chapter 8, when the people first demanded a king, I have just read this verse, but in verse 6, when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And in today's passage, the people continued to demand a king. Why did they want a king so much? Well, there seemed to be a couple of reasons. First, the sons of Samuel, who were to succeed the position of Samuel as a judge, were spiritually corrupted. Verse 3, Samuel's sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. In the meantime, during the period of Judges, the Israelites, the people of Israel, were almost always under the threat of the Philistines. The Israelites needed to be prepared for the attack of the Philistines and fight against them. The Philistines used weapons made of iron, when everyone else did not know how to produce weapons using iron. So the Philistines, their army was very powerful and a great threat to the Israelites. But the sons of Samuel were not reliable, like I mentioned earlier. And Samuel was getting old. Then people thought that they should have a king like the other nations. So their demand for a king, a powerful leader, may sound reasonable. But their demand was displeasing not only to Samuel, but also to God. Why was that? Today, let's think a little bit about that. And as we reflect on their demand, I'd like to make the following 2 points today. Today's points are the following 2 points. Our motive matters, that's 1 point. And the other point is we are called to be distinctive. Today's first point, our motive matters. In today's passage, the people of Israel demand a king. They said to Samuel, "Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have," as we can see in the book of Judges. As we can see in the book of Judges, the people of Israel were led or guided by judges whom God sent when the people needed a leader. Through the judges, God guided the people and protected the people. God took care of the people through the judges, and the people followed the judges sent by God. Following judges meant trusting God and following Him. I mean God, because the judges were sent by God. It is true that people often failed to faithfully follow God, but the people of Israel relied on God by trusting and following the judges sent by God, especially when the people were put in a crisis. But now they want a king instead of judges, because everyone else has their king. So they were saying, like, no more judges, we want a king. Samuel was a judge at that time, so Samuel's feeling was hurt, and he prayed to God. God said to Samuel, "It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." So not only Samuel, but also God was displeased by people's demand. Rejecting a judge sent by God meant rejecting God, who sent the judge. By the way, having a king is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, God has given an instruction on choosing a king when necessary. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. Maybe you can check the verses later. But in today's passage, God was displeased because he saw the people's rejection of God in their demand of a king. In other words, it is okay to have a king, but their motive of demanding a king was wrong. They didn't really trust and follow God, who would send a judge whenever the people needed a judge. They were attracted by the earthly leadership, then seeking a king as their leader is not pleasing to God. Seeking a king is not necessarily a bad thing, but their motive mattered. Today, as for us, each of us has desires and perhaps dreams as well. And being a Christian, the followers of Christ, does not necessarily mean the complete denial of our desire or dreams. Of course, there are a few people who are called by God in a special way and become a monk, for example, but not everyone is called that way. And basically, in our prayers, we can ask God for anything. However, one of the things that we can learn from today's passage is that we should think about our motive when we ask God for something. For example, this is completely just a hypothetical example, but let's say I pray and ask for a large house, large, nice house. I think it is okay to pray and ask for a large house. But the important thing is, why? Why should I have a large house? Does it help me to develop my relationship with God? Does it help me to serve God better? Or do I want it simply because I want to enjoy a luxurious life and glorify myself? So, when we ask God for something, let's try to think about our motive. Is your motive pleasing to God? Does your motive help you to develop your relationship with God? For example, one more point I'd like to share with you today is we are called to be distinctive. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. That is what the people said to Samuel. Verses 19 and 20, the last part of 19. We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations. Like I said earlier, when we ask God for something, we should be careful about our motive. And in today's passage, the people of Israel say that they want a king so that they will be like everyone else. By the way, what was everyone else like? Obviously, they have their king at that time. But that was not all. At that time, everyone else had their king, but the kings everyone else had were the symbol of earthly power and human wisdom to lead people. So, when the Israelites sought for a king, rejecting judges whom God would send, the people of Israel basically chose to rely on earthly power and human wisdom. And relying on earthly power and human wisdom was the normal way the Gentiles, the everyone else, followed. And the people of Israel wanted to be like everyone else, relying on earthly power and human wisdom. But that was not the way the people of Israel were supposed to be. They were God's people, and they were called to be distinctive. They were supposed to be God's instrument to point other people to God. They were supposed to be God's instrument to bless people. Through the people of Israel, people around them were to know God and to be blessed. But in today's passage, the Israelites were seeking to be like everyone else. Today, we too have been called to be the instrument of God. By God's grace, we have been added to God's people. We don't belong to this world spiritually, but we have been sent to this world by God so that people around us would know God through the way we live. Our reliance on God and our love for God and for our neighbors. As you know, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Jesus says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So God calls us to be distinctive as God's people. But being distinctive as God's people does not always mean to separate ourselves from this earthly world and aggressively present ourselves as distinct people. Let's think about salt. Salt normally becomes invisible when used, but salt definitely make a difference. When you cook a meal, we often, almost always, use salt when we cook something. But usually we can't see salt in the meal prepared. But without salt, the meal would not be tasty. Salt in the food is invisible, but salt makes a difference. But sometimes God's people are called to serve visibly also. Salt is normally invisible when used, but light is much noticeable when it shines. And sometimes we serve as the light of the world. As the light, we serve visibly. Like light shows us a way, we can guide people around us to God's way. Like light shines in the darkness, we can bring hope that comes from God to those who are unable to find hope. So, invisibly and visibly, we are called to be distinctive as God's people. In today's passage, the people of Israel were becoming everyone else. They were losing their identity as God's people. Like everyone else, they were coming to rely on human power and wisdom. But we are called to be different as God's people. We don't rely on human power and wisdom. We rely on God's power and His wisdom. So today, out of the passage, I made 2 points. Our motive matters, and we are called to be distinctive. It is important to think about our motive of our desire. We should follow God's way instead of the ways of the world, which the majority of people follow. And by doing so, by following God's and being distinctive as God's people, we can point people around us to God. But before we came to live that way, before we are added to God's people, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this world and showed us the greatest example. Jesus came to this world and even died on the cross. Why? What was the motive? He did so because he loves us. He did so for his Father in heaven. And the way Jesus treats us and loves us are absolutely different from the worldly ways. Jesus shows us God's way and God's love. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So let us not forget what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, and let us seek to follow God's way as his people. Thank you.